Before we get started with this episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, a couple things to talk to you about. First, FanshareSports.com, great partner of the podcast, been around for quite some time with them, and they're just getting bigger and better every year. Started out with golf, they brought football in, golf gets better, football gets better, and right now you can get the full season special discount football package for $99.95 and use promo code ALWAYSPRESS, but you have to do it by August 31st. The time is running out there. Highly recommend it. You'll hear me use it on the 2-Point Conversion NFL DFS podcast. Then you also can get the great, great golf product by using promo code ALWAYSPRESS, and you'll get 20% off the package there. So go to FanShare Sports, use promo code ALWAYSPRESS, get NFL for $99.95 or any package of golf for 20% off. Also, go check out Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy in your app store. Great way to play daily fantasy sports. They've been doing baseball, basketball, football, the works. Now they've introduced PGA. It's tons and tons of fun. They do round by round, and it's prop bets. It's not picking a lineup. It's none of that. It's prop bets. For PGA, I believe you pick 5 prop bets, 2 ice bets, and you know it's like going to Vegas. If it's a plus odds, you get more points if you get it right, so on and so forth. For other sports, you pick 10 bets and 2 ice bets. Tons and tons of fun. I highly recommend checking it out. When you make your first deposit of $10 or more and you use promo code SPORTSDGENS, you get a free $10. So go to Thrive Fantasy, use promo code SPORTSDGENS, free $10 when you deposit $10 or more for the first time at Thrive Fantasy. All right, everybody, welcome to the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2019 WGC FedEx St. Jude's Invitational.
Lay. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building, nigga.
Yeah. Nigga. All right, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up, the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. This week, previewing the final WGC, or no, we might have one more WGC event of the year, the FedEx St. Jude Classic. Find the podcast on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. And my co-host, as always, you can find him on Twitter at DFSGolfGods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Dude, I'm tired. I played 99 holes of golf in 3 days, so pretty wore out. But I'm here, and that's it. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Played a little golf myself on Sunday, but I enjoyed the Open. Is one of my favorite tournaments, so I had a blast watching what I could, and just the carnage on Sunday was everything I could dream of and more. So it was a ton of fun, but it was awesome. I know you said you didn't get to watch a lot because you were busy playing golf, but do you have any hot takes or anything on Shane Lowry, an Irishman, not a Northern Irishman, and I found out there's a big difference there, big difference, really big difference. But like Shane said at his post round thing, is there's one thing that the country can unite on, and it's golf. So they appreciated that much. At least an Irishman won it. It was pretty awesome, though. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's not necessarily who we thought was going to be the guy. Rory was obviously the huge fave going in. But the champion golfer of the year goes to one Shane Lowry. I mean, I don't know. Like, I wasn't super high on him just coming in because he hadn't had a whole heck of a lot of success in past past Open Championships. I know Kevin mentioned him as pretty much the only guy above 7,500 last week that he liked. Mm-hmm. And he was right around 6-7% owned, depending on what contest you were in. And so it wasn't that high owned, but the dude just he knew how to get around there. And I'm sure you said you watched some on Sunday, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, when it was driving wind and rain, and I mean, those shot trackers they had on him, like, he was hitting shots that looked like, I mean, just barely got off the ground on the tee box. And
he was hitting shots that no American could probably ever even think about hitting.
I mean, it was wild to watch some of those, watch some of those shot trackers. Those guys know how to play that weather, and there was some wild weather that moved in on Sunday. I guess Saturday and Friday were pretty good. Thursday was a little bit more meh or whatever, but yeah, I mean, good for him, dude. I mean, we were due a kind of, I think, less known person. Obviously, Shane Lowry is more known to guys like me and you who talk golf week in and week out, but the average you know, golf fan probably doesn't know who didn't know really who Shane Lowry was before last week. So,
and it was cool because you see this era of all these bombers and everything, and they're all fit and they work out, and then you got Shane, little plump guy, like probably a little more than a dad bod, walking out there, the big old beard, just smiling for days. Like it was just fun to watch him, especially on Sunday, especially once he kind of had it wrapped up. Like you said, the weather throughout the day, they moved the tee times up, which they never do at the Open. They moved them up.
Yeah. So they did move them up.
On Sunday. Okay. Yeah. And like part of people like enjoyed it because it wrapped it up sooner, but then there was a big group because if you look at the scorecards, like Molly goes out and shoots a 5-under, and I think he ended up top 10-ing out of nowhere because just the carnage. Like Rose was 8-over, Xander 7-over.
He finished 11th.
Molly finished 7th. He wasn't even close. Then he got JB Holmes shooting like an 87, which was amazing. Amazing. I'm not trying to talk trash on your Kentucky boy, but oh wow, that was electric.
First of all, so I was on a golf trip with a bunch of my friends. We're all basically from Kentucky, some of them from Ohio. But long story short, they were like, you know, after day one, when I looked at the fucking scorecard, look at the scores after day one, I was like, JB Holmes is leading this, you know, at 5-under par. And, you know, everybody was like, oh, yeah. I was like, he may not make the cut. And then he actually played pretty good.
Yep.
He actually played pretty good on Saturday or Friday and then backed it up pretty decently on Saturday. But, once
the weather came into play.
Yeah. I mean, me and you know, like, we've played JB and been around long enough that, like, the guy will blow up. And I mean, it sucks. Obviously, I'd rather see him win over Lowry because like you said, I'm a Kentucky boy and I want to see him win. But yeah, I mean, 87.
Yeah. That 87, like, watching him play some of those shots, he was in places that I go to. Like, he was rarely in a fairway. He was all over. And I know it was windy. Like, you mentioned some of Shane's shots. It was amazing. Like, he was punching it all over the course. I don't think he ever tried to elevate one more than like 30 feet off the ground. It seemed like he was just lasering worm burners everywhere. Right. And that's how you play links golf in that weather. It was awesome to see. That's why I like it, because the factors come into play. The course, if you play things right, can be friendly because of the rollouts and everything. It there's not just one set of golf skills that wins out there for the all 4 days type thing. Like, you have to be a golfer to compete in that kind of deal. And I thought it was pretty cool. Did you read at all the Brooks Koepka comments and interactions and everything yesterday playing with JB?
I didn't see much about it other than a few tweets, but I didn't see like anything afterwards. But I can only imagine, as slow as he is, and then he fires 87.
Yeah. But Brooks, he at one point went to a non-existent watch on his wrist to the officials. And then he mentioned in his post round, it's not that JB's approach and setup is slow. It's about normal. Like, a lot of the guys, it takes a while, but it's normal. It's he's not even ready to go when it's his turn. Doesn't have his glove on. He's not near his ball. Like, he's just kind of out in la la land, not even caring about anything. So he's all, that's the problem. He's not even ready to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like every group has that. I mean, you probably have a dude like that. I don't know. Maybe you don't.
100%. Like,
with a guy this past weekend. He was like that. You know, like, we were playing a scramble. He's hitting second. I'm hitting last. And I look over in the golf cart. One of my buddies is up. He's got it pegged up, ready to hit it. Another dude's still in the cart, messing on his phone or doing whatever he's doing. I'm like, come on, let's go. And, you know, so, I mean, it's frustrating to play with somebody like that. So. Yeah.
It's annoying
it's not the fact that, like you said, it's not the fact that, you know, take your time, line up your shot, make sure you're ready, but be ready
to play
when it's your turn. Like, let's not start putting our glove on, you know, after my ball hits the green.
Yeah. I've always told people, cause I'm not a pro. I'm like a 16 handicap. By no means am I freaking great. But what I tell guys is, I don't care how good or bad you are. As long as you're moving and playing, you can shoot 140. I don't give a shit. Just keep moving.
Right.
Like, I don't care what you do. I'll play with anybody if you keep moving. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I could see Brooks, because that's what tilts me, is when I'm sitting there waiting for you to like tie your shoe and stuff. It's like, no, it's not how this goes. Move. But so that was entertaining. Can't wait to see more of that. Did you see any of the Xander Schauffele driver gate news?
So I heard a little bit about it. I saw, obviously I follow Stephen Bowditch on Twitter, and I noticed that he had tweeted something about it. So I asked somebody, you know, what was going on with it or whatever. And they kind of explained it basically that they tested Xander's driver, I guess, was it before the tournament started or
Tuesday?
Okay. And then they called him out for having a non-conforming driver.
And he missed it by percentage points. They apparently they only tested 30 players, not the whole field, and four of the 30, so over 10% of those 30 were hot from three different manufacturers. And it's supposed to be kept under the hood. Like, I guess RNA busted guys in Tokyo, but no names have come out. It's one of those kind of things that, you know, you put it away, you get a new driver. Like Xander even said, I just go to the truck and they just hand me my clubs. I don't test them. I don't do anything with them. It's whatever they give me, I play. And there's a lot of other things that are involved in that, but it's pretty shady. And what Xander was pissed off about the most is that they didn't keep it quiet like they're supposed to. It's supposed to be like, and no one's supposed to know about it.
Right.
And so when he starts walking around and now like his buddies are joking around, he's a cheater and stuff. And then the media finds out and then it gets bad.
Well, did you see what Stephen Bowditch tweeted about it?
No, I did not see that.
I mean, he basically said that nobody knows if their driver is conforming.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Because that's what Xander was saying. It's like, literally, they hand me a club. I have no clue.
Right. I mean, you would just expect, like he said, and he actually replied to somebody's comment on there, like, do you know for sure that your speedometer is accurate?
Yep, exactly. You have no idea.
Right. I mean, you just get in the car, you buy the car, and you expect that it is correct. Mm-hmm. But then, that, you know, if you get pulled over and you were doing 75 and the guy says you're doing 80, well, you know, I mean, what are you supposed to do? So, yeah,
that was
an odd deal. I guess at least it happened before the tournament started and he didn't get disqualified or anything like that.
What I'm wondering, though, is why, especially on a major, do you only do a part of the field? If you're going to do it to everybody. That part doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. No, 100%. Like, especially if you're going to pull drivers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if 10% of those, would you say 10% of them?
Over 10%, four out of 30. Yeah. So, like, 14% or 12%, whatever the math is. It's over 10%.
So then, you know, the field was 156. So you got to think that there's at least 25.
Yeah. And that can make a big difference at certain times. And somewhere else I heard that any driver, apparently, after you hit it X amount of times, it gets hotter and hotter. So it just could be an older driver and was legal when he first got it, and just it's what happens. So it's crazy to think about that, because I never thought golf would be going this direction and this would ever be an issue, but here we are.
Right. Well, it's kind of, yeah, that's very odd.
Yeah, there's a lot we could talk about. Because, like I said, I love this tournament. Rory trying to make the comeback on Friday and just watching his emotions. I love that about sports when you can actually see what it means to people instead of just they're there to get a paycheck. That was pretty cool to see. All the Irish guys, Graham McDowell and company, were there, but it was wild. The weather was insane. The scoring on Sunday was bonkers. It cost me a good chunk, but I still did okay. But it cost me what could have been. But
did you watch it 1:30? Well, I guess it was 10:30 your time when the first tee shot went off Thursday morning.
I watched about half an hour the first night, and then I went to sleep. Yes.
Yeah. So you saw Darren Clark go out there, and
that was awesome.
That birdie.
It's like stuff like that, though. His hair is ridiculous. Like, I've been bald since I was 17, and this asshole's got hair that looks like it's from a movie.
Oh my god! And didn't move. And then he lit up a cig he's walking down the second hole.
He's amazing. But see, that's Euro golf, man. Like, I know. I think there's a part of me when I just retire, I just want to go live on the European tour for like a year and just experience what's so different. Because everyone said it that's covered it says it's like so much better and so much more lax and so much more fun to cover than PGA Tour golf.
Right.
I can only imagine like what they go through. It'd be so much fun.
Well, speaking of PGA Tour, did you keep up with the Barbasol?
I kept up with one Josh Cheater.
Yeah,
going low. Our boy Seth Straka finishing third. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
MAGA, and
somehow Jim Herman
first. Oh, sorry.
Jim Herman won.
Yeah, I know MAGA.
Oh, MAGA. I
was joking. Him and Trump, they're buddies.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah. I was making a bad joke. All I know is Sunday was weather related, so scoring wasn't crazy. But Saturday, when the Open ended, and I was actually home, flipped on the Barbasol, and it was a scoring bonanza. And those boys were sweating their balls off out there. It looked nasty,
dude. It was hot. I mean, it was.
It looked miserable.
I played probably an hour south of where they were. Maybe not even that. Maybe 30 minutes. You know, 20 minutes the way the crow flies, and. I mean, it was 95 degrees with 90%. I mean, it felt like it was 100 degrees when the sun was beating on you. It was something else this past weekend.
And like, I like to walk with, you know, when I golf, make fun of me. I'll use my push cart. I'll go walk. But when it's hot, I'll ride in a cart. And when it's that hot, it's still miserable. Like, there was no.
Like, the only relief was riding in the cart. Like, if you sat
get the breeze
in the cart. Yeah. if you sat in the cart or just stood there, like my I couldn't touch my shirt because
stuck to you.
Like no, because like my hand would get wet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I have like a nice, like one of those new nice shirts on, and like, you know, I had to have towels. It was something else.
Because when I first turned it on, I didn't realize it was that miserable in Kentucky at the time. And I see, it was Bill Haas. He had just sweat stains all around his tits. It was unbelievable. And then, Kip Henley, the caddy for Austin Cook, he went to bend over to pick something up, and just beads of water were pouring off his hat. It was just like, it was crazy.
Right.
It's absolutely insane. Yeah. So. Yeah, but the Barbasol is cool. Your boy Teets, they got a lot of coverage on PGA Tour app too, doing stuff for Kentucky and everything. So that was cool to see because, you know, obviously we've had his caddy on the show, your buddy, and, you know, the Kentucky narrative and everything. And he's been battling. You've talked about the story of him for so long. So it was cool to see him kind of get his due. And then he played really well to top it off. So it was.
They had a nice payday too. I think he made it like $170,000. So.
Really? That's outstanding. That's big.
Yeah.
Those points and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
He's been playing. We've mentioned him. You have for sure. He's been playing well and making cuts here of late. So
yeah,
maybe he's one of those guys next year. Maybe the West Coast isn't his friend, but he gets Midwest and East, and here we go. It's rock and roll.
I mean, if he can turn it up, he was like coming into that, he was about 180th in the FedEx Cup. So he needed some really high finishes. So I know that I'm pretty sure that the FedEx Cup points that wasn't like a normal event, but still, hopefully, you know, that's a little springboard for him. So definitely be rooting for him.
Is he heading to Reno this weekend for the Barracuda?
I would imagine. I don't know. I haven't.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out. I don't think there's DK for the Barracuda. I don't think there was, but maybe there is.
I think there will be. No, wait. Is it, no, because it's
Stableford.
Isn't it Stableford? Yeah, yep. I don't think there will be.
It's goofy shit. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. But as people have noticed, we're talking longer because, A, there was some fun golf to talk about. B, we have a 64-man no-cut event coming up. So we'll be done in about 10 minutes once we start that. But any final thoughts from the weekend? Because, like I said, I really could sit and talk about the Open for a long time because I enjoyed so many parts of it. But I know it's not for everybody. And lastly, but guess what thing I'll say before you want to wrap up is the golf course, Port Rush, was absolutely amazing. Like the first time I saw that place, I'm like, that is a new bucket list item. Didn't even know it existed. It was beautiful.
Yeah. No, 100%. Like that's but it wasn't like your typical, it was in some senses like your typical Open Championship, but their greens were different. They were, you know, like you talked about last week, they were raised a little bit. You had to be a little bit more accurate and stuff like that. But that 18th hole, man, like.
And it used to be 16. They changed it.
Yeah. But the way they set it up as far as having basically.
Oh, the grandstands?
Like, yeah, stadium seating around it. Yeah. I mean, that was awesome. And then they let everybody come on to the fairway.
That was there at badass. The end.
Yeah.
They almost ran Lowry over. Yeah. That was freaking great.
And his smile, dude, his smile coming up there, getting on the green, just knowing he had it wrapped up. That was like, that's what,
his caddy the whole way.
What sports is all about, man. I mean, because that's, like, you couldn't write it better. I mean, you literally could not write a better. Like at the beginning of the week, it was really Rory, but like Shane Lowry, grindier guy, hasn't won a whole heck of a lot, hasn't really even had, you know, what you would really consider a whole heck of a lot of success as far as the big guys. I'm sure he's a millionaire and he's doing fine, but I mean, you know, that makes his career. He's forever known as the Open champion.
And he won the Irish Open as an amateur in 2009 at that same course. So he's won there twice technically.
That would have been good information to know last week, Bubba.
No, that would be great. I didn't know about it until the coverage. Trust me, I heard it a million times on Saturday and Sunday.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, no idea either. Go look up the picture of him. He's baby faced. There's no beard. If you put the picture up, I wouldn't even have told you it was Shane Lowry. But I have no idea.
Huh.
But he won it then. But yeah, like you said, it was sports at its finest. It was absolutely awesome. The course was great. What I heard today is it's now in the 10 course rotation and they're deciding on which one they're taking out. So there'll be 2 to 3 more before 2040 at Port Rush, which would be awesome. So,
yeah. Heck yeah.
That'd be cool. That was awesome. Cause what I liked about, like I said earlier, and you mentioned it with the course stuff, is it tested so many angles of the golf game, like so many factors. It had in course out of bounds. Like you don't see that shit anywhere. It was nuts.
Oh, number one. I mean, yeah. Rory hit one. I will be on one. They like take
3 feet out of bounds. 3 feet. Where are the fans on that one? Like literally, if you stand on the out of bounds, it hits you, it stays in bounds. Where are the fans?
I don't know. But that was that out of bounds left there. It was not that far away.
No, it was gnarly. Like there was a few holes like that. Like they were hitting them. I'm like, holy shit. You know, Lynx, you're used to be able to kind of hit anywhere you want. Remember was it Spieth in 16? He's playing from like three fairways over, going over a grandstand. Like
mm-hmm. Yeah, wasn't happening here. No.
No, it was wild. I loved it. But let's move on.
All right.
If you have any more questions, come bug me. I'll talk to you. But let's go 2019 WGC FedEx St. Jude's Invitational. Again, 64 golfer field. Some of the best aren't here, but most of them are. Majority of them are. No cut event. Give us some past event history, Jesse.
Yeah, so this used to be, I don't know, where did this WGC used to be played?
Wasn't it at the Bridgestone up in Ohio?
Oh, okay. So this was the one they took away from Firestone.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, okay. All right. So this used to be this St. Jude Classic,
yes,
which was an open, like just normal PGA Tour event. And it used to be right before the U.S. Open. Obviously, new schedule. Still, I don't think I like it. I'm really settling. I don't like the schedule. We'll talk about that more in the future, though, once everything's done. And I get my final determination on that. But so anyways, played TPC Southwind. So there's technically no event history. Now, there is course history. Dustin Johnson won last year. He shot 19 under, 6 shots over Andrew Putnam. And then Putnam won the Barracuda the next week. And that was when we couldn't bet. Putnam won it. Remember, I was all over Putnam for weeks.
Yep.
And then
one week
we couldn't play him on DK. He won the Barracuda. So, yeah, I don't think there'll be any. Anyways, so 2017, Daniel Berger was your champion, 10 under, 1 shot over Wee Kim and Charles Schwartzel. He actually was 2-time champion back-to-back. Daniel Berger was. He won it in 16 as well, 13 shots, 3 strokes over Brooks, Phil, and Stricker. Fabian Gomez was the 2015 champion. Ben Cranes won. Harris English. Dustin Johnson's won this twice. Lee Westwood won this once. That's pretty much it. But they've played this same golf course since 1989, I read today.
Yeah, pretty much. If the big boys were here for this tournament before, it was to tune up for the U.S. Open. It wasn't to do much. Like Brooks has played it the last 5 years. DJ's played it 3 of 4.
It was also 1 year where DJ
withdrew.
Yeah, that was 15. And then went to Chambers Bay and 3-putted the last. Yeah.
Dominated till the end.
Yeah.
Till the end.
but yeah, that was, and then, yeah. So the other thing WGCs are known for is WDs. Like, remember that one time Daniel Berger hit one tee shot and then left? Yep.
Well, what about Shane Lowry in the field this week and all the videos of him partying his ass off in Dublin last night? He still has not withdrawn yet.
Yeah, I'm super confused by that. I mean, maybe he's just going to come over and make his money eventually, maybe fly in Wednesday night or something.
Hey, but I can't remember who said it on Twitter today, but if you think about it, if any place can party their ass off and play hungover, ask Eddie Pepperell. It's people over there in the UK and Ireland.
Yeah,
so
true. I mean, they've been drinking since they were like 16.
Yeah, he's probably got a private jet and slept the whole way over, and he's probably going to be at the practice range tomorrow looking great. So who knows? But, yeah, it's a loaded field, as you'd expect for WGC. It's TPC Southwind, as you said, in Memphis, Tennessee. It's going to be mid to low 90s. It's going to be humid as hell, pretty much what you probably experienced last week.
Yeah,
pretty much the same type of deal. So it's going to be a rough one. But it's a par 70, a little less than 7,300 yards, only 2 par 5s on the course. If you're a big, big hitter, you can reach him in 2. If not, it's going to be a 3-shot a deal on most of those. You can get birdies on them, but eagles are very slim to none. There's 8 par 4s over 450. Again, not a bomber's course. This is more of an accuracy course because the fairways are rather narrow. The rough can get to 2.5 to 3 inches, and if it's hot, it's going to grow a lot faster. Very hard to hit out of the rough for these super small greens. They're definitely less than tour average greens, Bermuda greens. You need to be able to scramble or get on there. And they're very, very small, and you can't do that really well out of the rough. So accuracy out the tee, your approach game is very, very important. The speeds of the green are about 12 on a stem. It's average. They're a little fast, but not super fast. Tons of water on this course. It's I read anywhere, some places said 8 holes, some places said 10 holes. Regardless, tons of water. Kenny Kim even tweeted out today, this course has more water balls than any other course on the PGA Tour. So lots and lots of water. Good thing it's a no-cut event. So when your guy tanks one, it doesn't make you miss the cut. But, yeah, it will hurt your overall DraftKings scoring. As, again, no cuts, you want birdie, birdie, birdie. But tee to green approach, Bermuda roughs, Bermuda greens, lots of dog legs. So a lot of the reports I was reading on, like, Josh Colt's stuff and everything was accurate off the tee, set up your second shot, have a good approach game. That's what a lot of the pros have been saying in recent years here. Other than that, it's going to be hot as hell, and these guys are going to have to keep it together to stay focused. But pretty loaded field, a lot of them that came over from Ireland. So I'm curious to see how it all plays out. But what stats are you looking at this week, Jesse?
So the scoring here isn't like crazy low as far as the winning scores. I mean, DJ kind of dusted the field last year when he shot 19 under, but typically it's, you know, close to 10 under. Brian Gay one time shot 18 under as well, but he won by 5 shots too. So most of the top 10 is going to be around, I think, 10 under par. So, I mean, still looking at kind of things like birdie or better, greens in regulation, obviously. I think proximity, recently opportunities gained on Fancy National are kind of the things that I look at. Approach, I mean, you can throw accuracy in there. I've kind of got distance and accuracy graded about equal at this point on labs. And then there's plenty of course history. I mean, looking into the course history and people who have played well here, I think is also a way to go.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We'll do some fancier sports real quick. Again, use code ALWAYSPRESS for 20% off the package of your choice. They got the NFL early bird out there, $99.95 for the entire season, but that expires August 31st. So you got to get it rocking and rolling soon if you want to get there and use Always Press to get 20% off. Looking at fan share, guys coming in that have played well in WGCs, going over the last 6 WGC events. So it gives you the idea of no cuts. Can they score a lot? The big boys, as you'd expect, Justin Thomas, DJ, Rory, Franny, Kisner is really good here. Sergio, RCB, though, and I can't wait to see what his ownership is after last week's disaster. RCB is averaging about 83 DK points per WGC event. Just coming in good form in general over the last 6 events. Kuchar is averaging over 113 DK points. You got the likes of Franny, Kisner, Rom, Ricky, Rose, and JT. There's some similar names there. Last but not least, last 6 events on courses that are 7,200 to 7,400 yards. You got the likes of DJ. Kevin Na is averaging 95. He's second in the field in DK scoring on courses like this. You got Tomas Peters is doing well here. Brooks, JT again. Rory and Hideki Matsuyama come up big there. So a lot of similar names there. Be cool to see how it all plays out when the week goes on. Let's do it. Let's get into the DraftKings scoring or picks for the week. We have 6 guys over 10K, Jesse. This is great when you have 6 of 64 golfers over 10K. Brooks Koepka at 11.6, DJ at 11.4, Rory at 11.1, JT at 10.7, Rahm at 10.4, and Fleetwood, who if he could have putt over the weekend, would have been huge at 10.2. What do you have here?
Yeah, this is, you know, it's really difficult up here. DJ has the course history. Brooks has 2 top 10s this year outside of majors, but he has not finished outside the top 5 in a major. You know, will he practice this week? I guess that would be an interesting thing to find out. Like,
does he care?
The thing is, like, somebody who is a course like golf reporter or whatever who's on course needs to ask him, are you going to practice this week? And then let people know that. And then that would be great. Rory, obviously, I mean, he's been playing well. He just had a terrible Thursday last week. He has played this golf tournament twice, 7th and 29th, 2012 and 2010. I just don't know that I really want to pay up for any of these guys. John Rahm is super interesting to me. Never played here, but 11th, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in his last 4 starts. He had a couple missed cuts in there, but I mean, a 9th at the Masters, 6th at the Valspar. I mean, he's just had a bunch of really high finishes and has played really well, obviously. So I would, I would put him probably like high up on my list, but I just don't know that I'll go up here at all. I mean, these guys, they have to win, and this field is so loaded. You know, I mean,
yeah.
So anyways, John Rahm for me, and then I think Fleetwood will probably be overowned for the way he played last week. He has not played that well all year for me to like super jump back on him. And I wish I listened to myself last week and actually played him.
Yep. Always the Captain Hindsight stuff for all of us. It always works out that way. Yeah. But the two guys I'm looking at is Justin Thomas. He's striking the ball pretty much better than almost anybody on tour right now. It's the flat stick. He T11 last week. If you take out the triple on 17 on Sunday, he's, I think, around T6 or so, T5 maybe even. Like, it dropped him tremendously. He's a birdie machine. He's a no-cut-making machine. I like JT a lot at 10-7. He might be chalky, but someone I like a lot when it comes to DraftKings scoring. Justin Thomas loves no-cut events. This is what he does so well. We talk about it a lot with him. So JT at 10-7, I'm a big fan of. Then you said John Rahm, and I like John Rahm a lot at 10-4. I think he kind of gets overlooked in this range up top. Another guy, he's had 16 or more birdies in four straight events on tour, coming in really, really good form, played really good at the Open, just, four over on Sunday. Pretty much everybody, I think, outside of like four or five golfers, was over par on Sunday. So he scored 74 or more DraftKings points in the last four events. Guy coming in good form. So I don't mind John Rahm as well. A couple of guys I'll definitely take a peek at. Both first timers at this golf course, but both good form and no cut event. I like my chances getting some good action out of them. Let's go to the 9K range. We've got five golfers on tap. Cantlay at 98. Rose at 95, Schauffele at 93, Stenson at 91, and Kuchar at 9,000. All very good plays. Jesse, which ones are you going with?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, splitting hairs here. I'll just talk about Justin Rose for just a second. I mean, it wasn't that high on last week. He was about 14% owned. Maybe people will see that 20th place finish, but he was high up the leaderboard and then shot 79 on Sunday in the terribleness that was that weather. Finished third at the U.S. Open. He'll be interesting as far as his ownership projection goes. Xander, he had a pretty good tournament last week and then shot 78. On Sunday he had shot 74 on Thursday. So sandwiched a couple rounds there. I never get him right. Stenson's hitting the ball really well. He's played here a couple times, finished 26th here last year. So I think he's fine too. So my plays here would be Rose and Stenson for the most part. I think Stenson's pretty much cash worthy if you're going that route this week, if you're playing cash.
Yeah, I like Stenson a lot. Similar to what I said about JT, Stenson's striking it great. He's putting like shit. If he figures out a putt, he missed so many birdies last week. He still finished T20. He could have easily...
Did you see his shank?
Yeah, then he snapped his club. I quote tweeted that one yesterday. He grew big brownie points in my book with that one. That was like any regular golfer has felt that moment in their life. And the fact he literally just snapped it and went, outstanding. Absolutely amazing.
I was kind of hoping he would bend both the parts around his neck. I mean, that would have been, he just wore it, held it there for that last hole and just played the last hole with it.
Yeah, it was amazing. He yelled he yelled shank twice on the video. It was awesome.
He did.
That's what I thought, unless it was an announcer, but it sounded like
no, him. It was an announcer.
He was pointing. I thought it was him yelling shank, but it was awesome. Whatever it was awesome.
Wild.
Yeah. But Stenson at 91, I do like quite a bit. Good form. Hitting it beautifully. His three wood can keep him in play all day, stay out of trouble, approach the greens. I like Stenson a lot at 9,100. Xander, I'll go right back to. He plays great in A, no cut events, and B, in big fields like this, he shows up. We saw it in, I think it was China, HSBC, when he won it earlier this year, that WGC. He plays great in the majors. Big field events, Xander shows up for. I have no problem with him bouncing back this week at 9,300. And then Rosie at 95, I think, is a great pick, too. Outside of that just disastrous Sunday that Minnie had, he was in contention. I think he teed off, in fourth place on Sunday and then just unraveled. So those are the three guys I'd be looking at, really good options there. Obviously, in a field like this, in the 9K range, you should have some good options, and you definitely do. In the 8K range, you got Matsuyama at 89, DeChambeau at 88, Scott 87. We don't know what putter he's got, though. Spieth at 86, Lowry at 85, Finau 84, Day 83, Webb 82, Casey 82, Oosty 81, Woodland 81, Reed 8,000, Hatton 8,000. I don't think there's ever been this many $8,000 players. Jesse, what do you like in here?
Yeah, there's a lot to like in this range, obviously. Start with Scott. So he had the short putter, I guess, last week. Yes. Just blows my mind. I don't understand it at all. He played awful. He was the cash game lock of the century. There was zero chance he was missing the cut. Just been playing great golf, had some success over there. And he shoots 78, 73 to not even sniff the cut. I hope he brings a long putter this week. I will go back to him at 8,700. I hope most people don't. Decky is playing and just hitting the ball super well. He missed the cut too. He missed the cut on the number after three over on Friday. So, again, I hope we can get him in some depressed ownership there. I think Bryson will be popular. He's had a lot of success. Well, not had a lot of success. He's missed the cut in 45th here the last 2 years he's played. He missed the cut at the British Open, but people just seem to jump on him this time of year. That day price is interesting, $8,300. I'm super confused how he's down that far. He's only played here once, 23rd, coming off a missed cut at the Open Championship. I just don't really want to play him. He's not super sexy to me, and that might mean that he wins because, you know, it's just how Jason Day is sometimes. Paul Casey's fine. Webb Simpson's, I think a good play too. He's had semi success around here. Missed cut in 15, third the year before, 29th and 10, missed cut in 9, and 64th in 08. So he does have the top three, you know, in 2014, and just pretty steady golf at this point. And then, man, Patrick Reed.
Yep.
Here we fucking go. So yep. Miscut, fifth, miscut, miscut. That was back to 14, 13, 12, and 11. So that was a while back. But the dude finished 10th last week at the Open. Did you see his umbrella?
No, I did not. I missed the umbrella part.
He had the 2016 Ryder Cup umbrella.
That's amazing.
Talk about a troll.
I love him. Like, I'm sorry. I'm becoming more and more of a fan of this man. Like, I can't stand his wife, but just arrogance, the quiet, like, Brooks oozes confidence arrogance. Pat Reed has that middle finger arrogance walking around.
Oh, he's just like, he's like the essence of an asshole.
Yes, right? And I love it. I'm here for it.
And I feel like I should like him more for that, yes. Because, like, that's me. You know what I mean? Like, I am also a giant asshole.
That's so why, like, I think I gravitate to him as well.
So, yeah, I mean, Reed,
that price tag is awesome.
The dude has been hitting the ball really well. I mean, like, and eventually it's going to happen, and it might be this week. And, you know, I'm in a no cut event. I'm willing to take a chance here. So, to recap, really the plays for me: Decky, Scott, and Reed.
Yeah, I like those. I like Decky a lot at 89. You hit on a lot of it. That was his first made cut since the Open the year before. Decky's been just lights out good. Ball striking extraordinaire.
First miscut, you mean?
Yeah, first miscut, sorry. Okay. We talk about iron play and approaches. Decky's the guy. So $8,900, go right back to that wagon all day long. Scott definitely gets my attention. I like that call there. But a couple others outside of Pat Reed, which I'm a big fan of at $8,000. I think I'll be having a lot of Patrick Reed at $8,000. Webb's a good play. And then Tony Finau. I know I'm worried after a third place last week, everyone's going to love him. You know, T23 in Detroit, I think it was, and then just three straight missed cuts. He's been garbage for a while. He missed the cut here last year, but again, no cut event. He's a birdie machine. He's got distance to reach the par fives. I think in an event like this, at a $8,400 price tag, if he's not too chalky, I'm a big fan of Finau like this, because it wasn't more than a year ago we were looking for Finau at events like this because of DK scoring. I think I'll go back to that wagon, watching what he did there over the weekend and the week before. Hopefully things are clicking. So if I got to narrow it down, it's Hideki, Finau, and Reed for me in this 8K range. That's kind of where I'd be planting my flag.
He was the only guy to shoot even par on Sunday, too, in the top five.
Yep. And then Reed, Molly.
I mean, there were some guys who shot under par, but they like played earlier in the day or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Like Reed, Molly, and like a couple others were the only ones that shot under par. It was So Finau played great for all things considered, played absolutely outstanding when it came down to it. And I'm willing to go back that maybe he's heating up after these last couple weeks, because even when he finished T23, he was a birdie monster. Let me pull it up. I got it right here. It was 3M Open in Minnesota. You know, 18 birdies. He had 14 birdies last week, for crying out loud. But, you know, 95 points, 85 points. He's a DK machine at $8,400. No cut event. I'll take my chances with Tony Finau. All right, 7,500 and above, Jesse. I'm not going to read them all off. Who are you looking at?
Start with Chez. Really, really good course history. Sixth, fourth the last 2 years here. 12th and 15th and 27th and 13. Missed the cut last week. Missed the cut the Rocket Mortgage, but he won the Travelers Championship, finished third at the U.S. Open. No cut event with that kind of course history. I don't really care what happened the last couple events. Rafa. Let's talk Rafa.
Rafa cost me a lot of money.
Oh, my God, dude. I mean, he was playing so well going into the Open.
Regret playing him at all. I don't regret it at all.
I mean, he shot 73, 75. He wasn't even close, really. I mean, he was semi-close, but not that close to the cut.
On the second day, he got inside the number and then trunk slammed, like, the last four holes.
Perfect. Did not know that.
He got all our hopes up and then just blew it up.
I mean, because before that, he was playing over there across the pond, obviously. I mean, he's not like over when he comes over to the United States this, or when he has come over to the United States this year, he's not done super well. But my hope is that, you know, you got another lot of pissed off people at him for that miscut last week, and then the ownership goes down. And then Billy Horschel at $7,500. He's played here a bunch. He's finished 51st last year, 4th the year before, 15 he was 8th, 14 he was 6th, 13 he was 10th. Missed the cut at the Open Championship, but before that he made a bunch of cuts in a row, you know, one top 10 in there. So totally fine with him. How is Matt Wolff in this field?
I was wondering the same thing. Apparently winning it got him up the overall ranking somehow.
Is he inside the top 65 in the world?
Well, there's like five guys missing, so I'm guessing if he's at least top 70, he's in this deal. So, yeah, I was surprised by that as well.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
Just bear with me just a second. You go ahead and
okay, while he's looking that up, I'll tell you what I'm looking at. I am very intrigued by RCB, especially with the low-owned RCB. He finished T4 here, his only time he's played it 2 years ago. So the course he had figured out for one. And again, before last week's debacle, was playing phenomenal golf. I'll take my chances there. I think Chez is a great call in a no-cut event. Like you said, T6, T4, T12, the last three times he's played at this course. Back-to-back missed cuts, then a first and a T3. So Reavy's playing good golf as well. Don't mind either one of those. Putnam's going to be super popular. That scares the crap out of me. But the combination of Fitzpatrick, Matt Wallace, and Danny Willett, the Englishmen, the Euros, I really want to see the ownership there, because I think those are three leverage plays. Not saying you have to play all three. They're all coming in pretty good form, especially Willett and Fitzpatrick, but all three of them are birdie machines. They can score in bunches. And I know I keep saying that, it's a loose term, but on a no-cut event, you want birdies, you want DraftKings. Like, this is what you want. Those three guys can do it. If you can get one of those guys low-owned, I think it's going to be big. I think Willett might be the most popular, but you got Fitzpatrick, Wallace, Willett. Out of those three, it's kind of bookmark it. We can talk on Wednesday in the Slack chat and we get ownership. I really like looking at one of those guys as a leverage play. Say you take some chalk up top or something, use one of them to get you some DK scoring somewhere else. Did you find our answer, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, he's 138th. I'm guessing that the 3M Open got him in.
But I thought this was a – that's weird. That's really weird. I didn't think they had exemptions. I thought it was either you are or you aren't in the top 65.
That's bizarre. I don't know how he's in there. Until we were just going through the list here, I just didn't even realize he was in. But $7,500, like, I don't know, the dude can make a lot of birdies, so I don't mind him at $7,500. And there's plenty of people below him that you could play that really have, you think have a better chance, but I mean, you never know. No cut event. He's already got a win, no pressure.
Yeah, he can grip it and rip it. Have some fun with it. Who do you like 7,400 and below?
It's weird, man. I'm gonna go with Phil, 7,300.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I am. I know. What a weird year. You know, he won the Pebble Beach program this year, which is seems like just lifetimes ago, doesn't it?
Yes, a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, Wolf is in the like. I didn't know if Labs messed up. I went to.
He's
went
in
to
the draft field, game. Man. He's in
definitely
the field.
In the field.
Yeah, he's okay. Legit in the field.
Moving on, Phil Mickelson, three straight missed cuts. Has played absolutely terrible this year since basically, really the after the Masters, finished 18th at the Masters. He may even missed two cuts before the Masters in a row. But, you know, so course history, Phil here, 12th last year, 9th year before, 2nd year before that, 3rd year before that, 11th year before that, 2nd year before that, and then 9th back in 09. So he's got the course history. It's no cut event. He makes birdies. I'm going to have to do it.
I don't hate it because it's a no cut event, but God, he's so tilting. And he lost a lot of weight. Give him credit for that. He went on fasting. He started fasting before the Open.
Yeah, he's. Makes no sense. I don't understand. Like, you're going to fast and, like, mess your body up that way and then go travel to, like, a time zone that's – I mean, if you're living in – is 9 hours ahead of you, right?
Something like
on
that.
On the West Coast?
Yeah, it's a ways out there.
So
– you know, we didn't even mention it. Tiger Woods. We didn't even talk about Tiger.
Dude, what did he shoot on – Didn't he fire like 79 or 80?
It was bad. He looked old. He was wincing. It's like I said, when I saw him face to face at the Open on that Sunday, I have never seen Tiger look so beat down and old in my life.
He shot 78-70. I mean, it's a good bounce back. He bogeyed the last two holes to just shoot 70 or whatever. So he could have been in at 68, but he would have been at plus three. He would have had no chance. But
he's not playing this week, and he might not play all three of the FedEx weeks. It's going to be interesting.
Like what? What's he – I don't – like, here's the thing. You know, if you're going to wake up at 1 a.m. on your by yourself in Jupiter, Florida, you know what I mean? Like, why not just go play the Scottish Open?
I don't know why he just didn't – not even play the Scottish Open.
Why not play the
just
Irish Open and then take a week off and then play
– or just go get a house over there for the month because you can afford it and just go practice at your own leisure.
But either way, like, you know – I know you're getting old. You want to kind of cut back on the tournaments. I get that. But you have to stay in, like, the playing shape and mentality. Yes. Like, your mental game has to also be strong. He looked terrible when I saw him in an interview before the tournament started.
Yep.
I don't know, man. Like,
it's hard to watch.
I have a theory, like, that he took a shit ton of steroids before the Masters.
Well, I don't know about before the Masters. I wouldn't be shocked, but... I'm worried about what he did when he was in his heyday because the way he looks now, I know he's old, he just doesn't look the same. Like he looks.
Oh, he for sure fucked his body up doing all kinds of stuff back in the day. But I'm just saying, like, something, he did something before the Masters to be like in like peak a condition again. And then, like, it only lasted for a week and it's over with now. We'll never see it again. I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. But I just wanted to bring it up. I figured, you know, we didn't even talk about Tiger, which was pretty crazy.
Yeah. And then he's not in the field again. Like,
yeah. We might see him for the first FedEx deal and then maybe the finals if he gets there. I don't know. Pretty crazy. Anybody besides Phil down here?
No, that's it.
That's it. All right. A couple I'm looking at. Alexander Noren, another guy, first time at this event, coming in pretty good form. T11 last week. It's one of those guys that when he's on, he can score a lot. If he's a mess, it's going to be a lot of water balls. So just keep that in mind. But, you know, places like TPC Sawgrass and Florida courses, he actually seems to show up, played pretty well there. Not the same course, obviously, but condition-wise and everything. Noren at 73 has got some upside, usually low ownership with a guy like Noren. And then my boy, he played really well this last week. On the weekend, he just couldn't play the last, like, five holes each day and kind of gave his strokes back. But anybody that can rock a 1776 hat at the British Open, Kevin Kisner at $7,200 is in play again this week. Did you see that, Jesse?
I did see that, yeah. I did.
That was absolutely amazing. That might have been better than the Ryder Cup deal. Like the Ryder Cup deal gets you heckled. 1776 might have got you shot. That was absolutely the balls on Kiz. He played really, really well. T30 doesn't tell you how good he played. His front nines were always great. His back nines, where the course was tougher, kind of ate him up. But he's, you know, he won WGC, the match play. Plays really well in these tournaments.
loves Bermuda greens. I think it's $7,200 kids. Big fan of him this week when it comes to cheaper guys down the list. If you get into the 6K range, Jesse, I got four guys I don't mind playing. Who are the guys you're looking at?
I'm still trying to figure out how Matt Wolf is in this field. I mean, like, I'm reading articles and it says that he committed.
But how do you commit if you're not the top 6K? Anybody that's listening to this show, either comment on YouTube or give a rating and review on iTunes and tell us, or just hit us up at Always Press. We need to know what's going on here.
So, like, one thing on here says 46 of the top 50 players in the OWGR are officially committed to this tournament. And then so it says, with the commitment deadline passed, the field is set with the exception of non-qualified players still have the opportunity to earn their way in the field via two ways. Jump inside the top 50 in the OWGR when it's released on Monday, or win the Open Championship Sunday.
Which he didn't win that, so maybe he jumped in the newest top 50? Still wouldn't make sense. He won a lower end of he's played in four golf tournaments. There's no freaking way.
No, he's not. He's 134th or something like that around there. So, as far as getting back to what we're actually doing here,
if people haven't realized this is what happens, we have no cut events. We lose focus quickly.
But Corey Connors at 6,300, 68th year last year, just hitting the ball really well, and he's not getting the finishes. You know, he didn't make the cut at the Open Championship, finished 46th of the 3M, but he can kind of go on some streaks. And then that's really just kind of more of my model on Labs play here. And then Philip Erickson, I don't know who this guy is, but he's way up the model. He's been playing on the Southern United.
Erickson sounds like Scandinavian.
Yeah, he's been playing on some weird tour a bunch, and he's been playing okay. So $6,000 if you want a super punt. There he is in a no-cut event. Other guys who can reel off a bunch in a row, like Tway, he might be okay. Kevin Mitchell missed the cut last week, but he would be okay. And then your boy Kevin Nall, I'll leave that up to you. You tell me.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch Nall. I know he plays well. I know he hit the fan share numbers, but I'd rather go 100 more than Keegan Bradley, who's better than a lot of these guys down here. He's actually won like within the last calendar year. I like Keegan at $6,800. A few others. Hao Tong Lee actually plays really well in these WGC events at 6,600. He was on a few of those fan share lists we talked about. No cut events. He can go on Birdie Fest as well. Keith Mitchell, you mentioned him. He loves Bermuda, 237 here last year. And then last but not least, a dude that surprised me, he was in the field as well. I know he's won an event this year, but I did not think he was in the top 50 also, Jesse, is Max Homa, who's made two of two cuts here at this course, coming in okay form. But the reason why I like him at 64 is he might make some bogeys, but he can make a lot of birdies. Yeah, no-cut event, Homa's going to go big and try to get some free guaranteed cash out there at $6,400. I don't mind it, but he's another one that kind of surprised me he's in the field also. So, yeah. Let's recap it, Jesse. Let's have some fun here at the end here. 10K and above, give me one guy.
I'm going to go Rahm.
I'll go JT. 9K, give me one guy.
9K and above, I will say Justin Rose.
I'll go Stenson. But I like a lot of those guys right there. Okay, 8K, since it's so freaking deep this week, give me two guys. Since we gave three earlier, narrow it down to two.
Let's go top and bottom, Decky and Reed.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like Decky and Reed as well. If I got to give you someone different than what you did, I'll say Finau. 7,500 and above, give me one.
Chez.
I like that play. Give me Fitzpatrick right now. Okay. I'm one of those English boys, I think, or Scottish boys, whichever ones, I apologize. I like one of those guys there to do some damage. 7,400 below, I'm going to say Kisner. Who you got?
Phil.
Phil, that's right. And your top 6K guy?
Connors.
I'll go Keith Mitchell. He's a guy that's just going to bomb away and see what happens. So get weird there. We usually don't condone cash on weeks like this. So if you're playing cash, hit us up in the chat. We'll help you there. But cash on no-cut events is no bueno. GPP, though, Jesse, give me three guys you'd start a lineup with.
I would go like Decky, Scott, and Reed.
I like JT, Finau, Kisner. I'd probably throw a Reed in there and then see how the rest fits out. really big fan of that one. And last but not least, who do you like winning this thing?
I feel like it's going to be Decky or Reed.
I had both of those two written down here. Those are my two guys as well. I love it. Hideki's 33, Reed's 40. Those are my two guys I had written down. That's scary. We're both liking them that much. But they both had that form. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. They fit this thing quite well. Any final thoughts, Jesse, as we wrap up another fun-filled week of PGA Tour golf?
Yeah, I don't. Barracuda, Wyndham Championship, Northern Trust. I mean, like, I feel like golf's over, dude. No more majors. We have to wait till April
for the Masters
next year for the next major. I mean, I guess the playoffs will be okay. Good news is, like we talked about last week, football's right around the corner, so that'll be fun. Other than that, no, I don't. Yeah, like you said, cash this week, kind of sketch. Be prepared for some super chalk, that kind of thing.
For sure, for sure. Again, if you have any questions, hit up in the FSD Slack chat. It's free. Just give one of us your email. We'll get you right in there, or you can just contact Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm Matt BD, and the podcast is at Always Press DFS. Until next time, this was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2019 WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. Catch you guys later. The show goes on, mate, till the morning we dream.